this is just a couple of things that I love about Scripture that I'm going to share here this morning. And it's prayer in a word. It's prayer in, you know, so many times that I just get messed up because of sin, because of regrets, because of all kinds of trash, and I can't even, you know, I can't think straight, and I certainly can't, I can't even pray, right? And I'm so thankful for God's word, because it's always there, and there's a couple of places that I love turning to, and just praying through, and I'll bet $100 there's about 250 other places that I could turn to in Scripture that would be just as helpful. But I'm going to give you a couple here just here this morning. One is right at the end of Psalm 90. Right at the end of Psalm 90, there's the last two verses. God says, "Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands for us. In my business, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed that, because when I read it, at one point, it just leaped out at me. And I was saying, "Yes, God, for my business, establish the work of my hands." What an awesome word, establish the work of my hands, and let his beauty be upon me, so that when I'm out dealing with people and I'm talking to my clients, that God's beauty would be on me. It's like, oh, thank you, Lord. What is it? It's Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." And I've been praying that here this morning and yesterday, that God, thank you, God, that he wants to work in my life. Not only to do what he wants, but His Spirit is working in our lives so that we would desire that we would crave that we would want to do what he wants, that we would desire what he desires. It's like, oh, thank you, God. Keep working in my life, because I can't do this on my own. But thank you, God, that you continue to work in my life to desire you. Whew. Thank you, God. And I think this next one, I think it's Psalm 34. Let me check. I think it's Psalm 34, verse... Yeah, no. it's not Psalm 34. Sorry about that. The one that I'm... Where I'm going with this is, God says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give to you the desires of your heart." And it's not that God is he's a vending machine that we'll put our quarter in, and he's going to give us what we're desiring. I don't think for a minute that's what he's saying. I think God is saying, delight yourselves in him. And then in the same way, like we read in Philippians chapter 2, he will give to us the desires of our heart. So that now the things that we start to desire will be the things that he has for us. We got stuff that we're desiring that isn't from God, right? Okay, or am I the only one? Anyway, we got junk in our lives that we're desiring that should not be there. And that isn't from God. And so the prayer is, God, give to me the desires that I need in my heart so that the things that I'm desiring, God, are coming from you. And then lastly, and then Stan, you can kick me out. Stan says, you only got 45 minutes, Don, so don't. No, he didn't say that. He said, be quick. He said, be quick about it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. I love this prayer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness.
Amen.
And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. There is so much in there you could unpack and unpack and unpack. Hallelujah. So that's Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. It is an amazing prayer. I can spend 40 minutes just pouring through that and praying what God has in just those few verses. So, all glory be to him. Amen. Always.
You gonna pray for me? That's good.
Yeah, God, thank you for Stan. Thank you, God, for you, for Jesus. Thank you that your Spirit is here with us. You are the creator of heaven and earth. You have put this all in place, God. You've made the planet. You've made the bugs. You've made the trees. You've made the clouds. You made the weather system. You made our solar system, God. You have put this all in place. And you've brought us here together as a people that you love and that love you. And God, I thank you that we are here together to serve you and to glorify you and to honor you. And that's our prayer, God, that we would honor you here this morning, that we'd please you, that you would be pleased, God, with what we say and do and think here this morning. God, bless Stan. Speak through him, God. Speak through him, God, that we would hear you, that you would speak to us, God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you. You say amen? That was encouraging. Thank you. And next time I won't say keep it short. I'm going to say don't bet people $100. I bet you $100. God's good. You know, last night we got together with some men at my house and bought some pizza, and we were just going to kind of hang out because our wives were at the retreat, and we just started to sing and pray, and man, we went on for, I think, about an hour and a half and just really felt this burden to pray for our wives and to be men, you know, of the church that are going to show leadership, and we really felt like God was doing something out there in Deer Valley Meadows with the 35 women that are out there, and there's such a move of the Spirit. And then I was able to talk to Crystal later on. Like, she didn't call me till about 11:15 or something, and she said, "Man, things are so cool out here. Such great things are happening. There's some wounding that is being healed, and God's moving. And we got so many people that are coming to this retreat that they're barely even coming to church. They're just starting to get to know us, and they're starting to feel this sense of belonging. So I want to just pray for them again this morning. They're right in the middle of a service right now as well, and we just thank God. You know, yeah, we miss them here, but there's some really powerful things that are happening there, and it's a great place. You know, when you get into this kind of a retreat setting where you spend 3 days with people and you eat with them and you joke with them and you play cards or you do whatever you do, and then you can talk about Jesus and talk about who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives. We're going to be doing that together too in the time that we have. But can we just pray for them as well? Let's bow our heads. So God, thank you. Thank you, God, for the women of this church. Thank you for the ones that are here today, God. Thank you for the ones that are at Deer Valley Meadows. And as they're worshiping you right now, and as Kirsten and Crystal are bringing the message, and as they're growing in love and growing in their identity, because that's what they've been seeking this week, is just to figure out what their identity is. Who am I in Christ? We would pray together today. We'd join our hearts and pray together that your Holy Spirit would move in such a powerful way, that those who feel like they don't belong will start to feel like they do belong. Those who think that they're on the outside, they will be reminded, and that this will be imprinted into their hearts, that they are daughters of the King, that they are precious to you, that they are your own children. So God, I just want to pray for them. And pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be unleashed, that the enemy will have no place, just like we pray that right now in this place. The enemy has got no leverage. He's got no place here. He's got no voice here. We want to just hear you and your word and invite you, Lord, to do what you want to do. We know that your Holy Spirit is here. We've sung. We've experienced your Spirit. We heard Don share the word, the scriptures, and we know that your Spirit is here. So we just ask you, God, to touch our hearts. And we speak this out today, that our hearts are open, that we declare our hearts are open, that we want to receive from you exactly what you want to give, that our ears are open to hear your word. And Lord, take away anything that might hinder that, any obstacles, any stuff that's happened in our lives, even today or in this past week that we can be preoccupied with, any self-pity, any anger. God, just take it away. Cut it off, God. Just cut it off so that we can truly hear from you and worship the one true living God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And then just before, if you want to get your Bibles open to Psalm 77, because that's what we're going to look at today, I just want a quick little announcement, and that's Don was mentioning that there is a teaching tonight at Liberty Church. Pastor George is teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe it starts at 7 o'clock. So if you want to know more information, talk to Don. Psalm 77. Psalm 77 asks the big question. Psalm 77 asks the big question. I'll tell you what the big question is in a minute. Let's read it together. You got it? I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. You ever had a night like that? I hope I'm not the only one. Wow. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago, and I remembered my songs in the night, and my heart mused, and my spirit inquired, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? And then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works. I will consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters, he's talking about the Red Sea now. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in a whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Amen? Does that resonate as truth? I think I've said this before, but every morning when I do my devotions, I read some psalms. I usually read two or three or four. And what I'll do is where I end up, like if I read Psalm 6, 7, and 8, the next day I'll start with 8 again. So I read the same one that I ended up, and then I'll read 8, 9, and 10, and then I'll do 10 again. And just kind of get the flow going. And I hope that you've learned to love the Psalms like I do. I love reading the Psalms. I love all the scriptures. But what I like about the Psalms is the honesty that's in the Psalms. I like the perspective that we get from King David and just the human weakness and the sin that, you know, he experienced, and just the cries in the Psalms. Every time I read a psalm, almost every time there's just, I can say, yeah, I echo that. I can relate to this. I relate to this one, and I think probably all of us do. And it's the big question. The big question is, so where's God? I don't need to ask, yeah, he's right here. That's good. So that's the answer. We can go home now. You know, we've all had that question before when something goes wrong in our lives or when we go through something really difficult and we pray, or when we pray and we don't seem to get the answer that we want, or we don't seem to get any answer, and we wonder, you know, are you hearing me, God? Are you deaf? Where's God? When we lose a child, or when someone close to us gets caught up in addiction, or when you lose a job or your house, or you know, all these disasters or catastrophes happen to us. You go through a divorce, you go broke, whatever it is. Sometimes we go, well, okay, God, like, what's the point? What's the point of me believing in you? And I go to church and I'm doing all these good things apparently, and it seems like you don't even recognize that it's me. And that's the big question. Where is God in the pain? Where is God in the woundedness? And he puts it this way. David puts it this way. Will God reject me forever? You know, are you going to forever push me away? We know that's not true. We know what the Bible says, that he doesn't reject us. But we're just talking about the genuine, authentic feelings that we sometimes have. We feel like he's rejected us. Will he never again show his favor? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? That's really what he's saying is, God, are you going to keep not loving me? You ever felt that before? Because if this is what love feels like, God, it doesn't feel much like love. Are you going to always not love me, God? Are you ever going to restore that love that I once had, I once experienced with you? Are you going to not love me forever? Has your promise failed for all time? Ooh, there's another one, right? I mean, these are like daggers. This is David speaking from my brokenness. I know what he's saying. I understand this. Are you never going to keep your promise, God? You've promised all these things to me. Your word is full of promise. Come on, God. Where are you? Are you not going to keep this promise? What's the point of hearing these promises if you're not going to keep them? And how long is it going to be, God? There's a psalm I read just a few days earlier, so it had to be probably back in 75 or 73, where David actually says to God, why don't you, this is David saying to God, why don't you, God, get your hands out of your pockets? Ouch, yeah. But you know, it's honest, and I felt that before too. God, where are you? Has God forgotten to be merciful, he says, verse 9. Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? You ever felt that way before? This is the big question. This is honest. I think this is honest, where David says, come on, God, I'm going through all these men. And remember, in David's life, all his friends became his enemies, and they chased him down. And Saul, who was so dear to him, wanted him dead. And he goes, God, where are you? How come this keeps happening? How come day after day after day, it just rolls from trouble to trouble to trouble? And then God, there's an answer. So what is the answer to the big question? Because I mean, we can ask the big question all day long, and we can walk out of here just going, oh, we're so perplexed, right? Nothing ever works. But this is what he says, and this is, I think, really important. He says, verse 10, and then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Are you hearing me? Is this okay? Good. So what's the answer? You know, the answer is we got to start thinking about the miracles of God and stop dwelling in all our self-pity and all the hard things and all the bad stuff that's not working in our lives. And what he's really saying here is, you know what? It's really time to start remembering. Do you ever get frustrated? Because I do. When there seems like there's just nothing much we can do in a situation, and then someone says, well, why don't you just pray? Do you ever get frustrated with that? You go, okay, I'm just praying again. Here we go. Let's just pray. Because I don't know what else to do. I want to take matters in my hands. I want to shake Ray or someone else. I want to do something physical and actual. But all we can really do, and I know, you don't have to come after me afterwards and say, Stan, prayer is the most important thing we can do. I know all of that, right? But today, this is good today for me because it's not just pray. I like praying. I like what you said. We got to pray, and we're going to pray more and more. But there's another thing that we can actually do that can actually demonstratively make a difference, and that thing is remembering. We can deliberately remember, and I want us to do that today. And when we do this, when we deliberately remember, I mean, we put our mind to this. It's not just, you know, it's not just nostalgia. That's usually what we do with remembering. It's, oh, yeah, I get this. You know, when I was 16, I drove the car. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about actual, deliberate remembering, thinking back to what God has done. Because when we do that, when we go, I'm thinking back to this miracle or to this answered prayer, suddenly, that's the answer to the big question. Suddenly, I'm remembering, yeah, God, you've never let me down. God, you've answered my prayers. You've been so good, and you've been so faithful. Deliberately remembering. I remembered this week, and I'm going to start, and I'm going to give you an opportunity, too, so you can get kind of prepared for this. The only thing I'm going to say is what I normally say is, when you share your miracle, or a bit of your story. We can't hear the whole story. Just remember that there's more people. I'm going to try to do the same thing. Keep this short. We're going to remember some miracles today. How has God changed your life? What did he do? What did he do when you cried out to him in days long ago, like David said? I'm remembering April and March of 1997, 20 years ago, almost 20 years to the day. 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I was in a situation where I had five boys at home. My oldest was 16 years old, and I didn't have a job. I'd been kicked out of a church because of my own stupidity again, you know, because of sin, which continues to seem to chase after me. I didn't have a job. The job I did get was a job selling coupons. So for 3 years in my life, I sold coupons for a business or a company called Valpak. I hated my job. I didn't even believe in it. I didn't think it worked. I thought most of those coupons just go in the garbage, and they do. And I spent my job, I made about $25,000 a year, and my job was to go to Olds and to Pinoca and to Rocky Mountain, all the little towns. I had to drive around and knock on businesses' doors and say, hi, I'm from Valpak. How would you like to put your business in our envelope? And I hated this job. I absolutely despised it. I barely made enough money to pay for the gas. I had five kids at home. My marriage was in trouble. We were seeing a counselor. I literally had, this is not a lie, I had churches that phoned me and said, we know that your life is a mess. We're sorry about that. Don't come here. They said, don't come here. Whatever you do, we know you got to go somewhere. Don't come here because it's too big of a mess. We don't want that kind of a disturbance in our church. So we ended up going to a church for 2.5 years that was over 45 minutes away. We started worshiping there. And back in those days, well, there's so much I could say. I'm going to keep it short because I want to hear your story. But we raised a few pigs on our little acreage in those days. I'm just telling you this is how it was. We had no money. We were always in overdraft. And, you know, God has turn that around so much in my life. But we raised some pigs, and we used to get slop from Bonanza because I couldn't feed the pigs. We were just trying to find a way to pig them, to feed them, not pig them, trying to find a way to feed them. And then we would go to, I'd get bakery products from Co-op Bakery, and we would look at the bakery products. This is no lie. We'd look at the bakery products, and if it looked half good, we'd eat it ourselves. So we'd take little danishes or a loaf of bread and give it to the boys, take the wrapping off. They didn't, you know, read what the expiry date was. And if it was a little bit green, we'd tear a little bit of it off and say, hey, guys, here's some food. This is where I was exactly 20 years ago. And I cried out to God. I said, Lord, how long? How long am I going to be in this desert? And here's something that never changed in my life. Even though I have not been the smartest guy in the world, and that's pretty much documented, I never gave up on God. I never stopped trusting him. I never said, I'm done with you, God, or I never believed that he would really reject me. I just kept crying out to God, saying, God, I can't do this no more. Will you restore me? Will you give me what I need? Will you give me a miracle? And I could get into all the details. I don't need to. But my life has been so changed by God. And he has given me so much more than I could ever, ever hope for because of that miracle that he's done when he answered that prayer. So that's just a little part of my story. And it's important. It's important because we need to remember this. That when we remember, then we are reminded that God is faithful and that he sticks to his word. So I'm going to grab that mic, and there's a mic in the back. And Tim, are you going to, or Jeff's going to bring the mic, and I'm going to ask you to come forward. Don't just stand there. If you've got a bit of a story to tell, just come on up. Go ahead. What's the miracle? What do you remember? What do you need to remember today? What has God done? We're not talking here today about all the troubles you have right now. I'm sorry if that's the case. We'll look at that next time. Or maybe after the service we can pray about it. But we want to talk today about what God has done. Come on up, Douglas. Come on up.
Good, sir.
Yeah. What has God done in your life? What miracle did he do?
I know I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
I know he's set me free. I know that I need to lead with him, to be with him someday. There's been some troubles in our places that you know about. We discussed this yesterday. However, we're going to overcome.
That's right.
You know what I said last night to myself? It was very simple. Jesus Christ is with me, and I'm going to turn the other cheek, and I'm not going to get violent. There was, however, we don't need to discuss that right now. However, I just knew that he was there for me.
That's good.
He told me to tell me just to be quiet and be okay.
That's good.
And I'll turn the other cheek.
Amen.
I called my daughters, and my daughters were very wonderful.
That's good.
Dakota and Rachel.
That's good.
However, I know he lives. I know he exists. My testimony is very brief. Mm-hmm. I'm a child of God.
That's good. Amen.
He sent me here.
Mm-hmm. Say thank you. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, that's a good start. When you look back on your life, what's the miracle that God's done? We need to remember this deliberately today.
I remember back to 1984, and I had emotional troubles in my life at different times. God's been really good to bring me through those and bring healing, but the one that was an amazing miracle was the first time that I really got hit really hard with mental difficulty was back in 1984. And if it hadn't been for a group of people in a church that stood by me and loved me and prayed with me over a course of 2 years, I would have committed suicide. I was very suicidal. And it was brutal. Mm. And I won't go into all the details other than to say that that was a miracle.
Yes.
It was God knew. He provided people. He provided a place. He provided, he's always brought people into my life when I've needed them. And that was probably the time that I needed people the most. And I'll never, ever forget that. Mm. And I'm glad that Stan asked us to think about things and to remind ourselves of things, because we're living in difficult days right now. And it is vitally important to remember, you know, what he has taken us through. Because when we meditate on that, then it gives us faith. It increases our faith, and it gives us courage, and it gives us the strength and the ability to keep pushing through. And all of that, I would say, don't isolate yourself if you're going through trouble. That's the way the enemy tries to take us out. Mm-hmm. And this is a church. This was the church I'm talking about. That's a long time ago now. That's 33 years ago. But this is also a church that shows an incredible amount of God's love.
That's right.
And if you stick with this place, and you're going through a hard time, and you ask for prayer, and you just keep hooking in here, you'll find the help and you'll find the healing you need. Thank through you, Jesus.
Thank you.
I really believe that.
Really well said. Thank you. Amen. Rob, come on up here. Come on up here. And we're starting to loosen up a little bit. Come on, guys. Take a deep breath. This is not a big deal. Loosen up. We're all part of the family. Yeah. What's God done? What's your miracle? What has God done in your life, my friend?
Holy hallelujah. I had problems, major problems, not just mentally, socially, and nothing could be done right. Nobody really was worth anything to me. Mm. Man, I couldn't handle men. it was always competition. And women always seemed to win. So they didn't rank up too high. Yes, I can thank God that he brought me through that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a good place. And his blessings weren't very simple or easy either. The person I was, the liar, the cheat, downright thief. Everyone knew, and I could hear the. There he goes. So that doesn't play well on someone who has anxiety issues or utter depression, like all the time. Yep. And yeah, I was rebellious, and I didn't have any cares. So, like, my mental capacity was me. Get out. Mm-hmm. Out of my way. That was... I did care about God, but to a degree that I wouldn't try to slander him. Mm-hmm. It was still me. God was in the back somewhere. And he took that away.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's good.
Yes, he had to.
It was a miracle, right?
A miracle, yeah. Yeah, it was a miracle. It totally redeemed me.
Amen.
And I'm a different person today.
Hallelujah.
Thank Praise you. The Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen.
That's good, Robert. No, that was awesome. That's exactly what we want to hear. That's exactly it. Yep.
Amen.
One sec, okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Bob. Amen. If you didn't hear that, Bob saying that he just thanks God because he reminds him to pray every night, and it's making a big difference. So God bless you, Bob. Go ahead, Ellen.
Some of the prayers that God has answered for me. Back in 1975, I just become a Christian. September 21st, 1975, I became a Christian. And God just began to open up my eyes, my heart to the Word of God. I'd spend a lot of time reading the Word of God. And I would probably say in maybe November, in that time frame, November, December, or whatever the case, I can't remember the time, but I'm praying for, I lost my family because of my stupidity, because of my sin. So here I was, I accepted Christ. Now I'm just praying, Lord God, that you would restore our relationship and so forth. So I thought that was a really good prayer because my heart was really broken and damaged. Eh? So here I get down beside my bed this one night, and as I'm learning to become a Christian, you know, I'm just learning because this is all brand new to me. So I get down beside my bed, and I just start praying and asking God for whatever. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, the God of all creation, took time out of eternity to speak to me. He called me by my name. He says, Alvin, he says, I'm going to bring your wife back to you.
That's good.
Just like that. Just as clear as, you know, it wasn't an audible voice, but a spiritual voice.
Thank you.
And I go, whoa, smoke. So I just jump up from there. I run over to the phone. I phone my mom in Saskatchewan, and I say, Mom, I says, man, my wife's coming home. Kathy's coming home. Oh, whoa, that's awesome. Great. You know, and she says, well, you know, how do you know? Did she write you a letter? I says, well, no. Did she phone you? I said, well, no. But, you know, and I was, she was trying to pull it out of me. I says, God just told me.
Hallelujah.
And I could just see That's my mom good. At home there in Saskatchewan, her eyes rolling. Oh, my gosh, now what? This guy is just gone from one extreme to the other side, eh? But God was faithful to that word. Hallelujah. Yeah. God brought us back together in 1980. We went through the whole divorce and hadn't seen my kids for long times at times and over that course of 5 years. But God brought us back together,
Thank you, Jesus.
We were remarried December 7th, 1980. So it's going on 37 years coming up this year.
Praise God.
That we've been together because of
That's
Jesus
a miracle.
Christ and Him alone.
Amen. That's a miracle. Amen. Come on, Daniel. Just take the mic from... That's good. That's a miracle. And that's what we're trying to talk about today, right? This is God doing what God does. Daniel?
Boy, I couldn't do this in a full house. It's just mainly men here. Okay, I've had a lot of miracles happen to me since I've been out here in Red Deer. Chris Solomon from the kitchen, Stan, and a lot of other people that have been around me and that you know, show me that God does love me.
He does.
But there's one big miracle that's missing in my life, and that's alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sick and tired of it. Yeah. And yeah. I need another miracle. I'm ready to stop.
Good. Good.
And now I need to get into
safe 10 days.
Okay.
And still.
Don, come up here. So there's no time to ask, like right now. And, you know, we're going to pray right now. So, God, for our brother Daniel right now, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are the God of miracles. And we're not afraid to ask, so we ask you today. We pray for Daniel, or as he gets into treatment, or he's talking about maybe going to Safe Harbor. It doesn't matter, God, because you're the one who can remove this. And there are people all through this building who have been delivered from this too. So we have the great assurance that you are the God who can save us. You want to save us. You want to deliver us from it. You want to take this thing away that is... captivating and dominating Daniel's life. So in the name of Jesus right now, we break off the alcohol. We break it off in Jesus' name, and we ask you, Jesus, to make this road a road that that Daniel can walk. Give him the strength and the power so that he can do what you want him to do, and that this will be behind him forever, and that this booze will no longer have dominion. It will no longer have leverage in Daniel's life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we're going to have one more prayer. So, Darcy, you want to pray too? Because it says
Lord,
two or three.
Thank you for Daniel.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we pray Hallelujah. Your blessings in him, your clearing of his Jesus. Mind. Lord, we pray for restoration, everything the devil's stolen out of him with this alcohol, Lord, that would come back to him. Pray for a clean mind, Lord, and that the temptation would be gone now in the name of Jesus, that this wouldn't be a long, drawn-out struggle, Lord. You are capable of cutting it right off of people. We pray for freedom. The truth will set you
Hallelujah.
Free, your word says. And the truth is Jesus loves
Jesus.
You, and he's here for you. We're here for you, and we bless you. And everything that you need,
Hallelujah.
Jesus, fill
it's
them
time.
Up. Fill them up, Lord.
It's time. You hear
fill
that?
Them up.
It's time.
We declare it's gone in Jesus',
Jesus
name.
Jesus' precious name.
The spirit of alcoholism Jesus. Be gone off Daniel in Jesus' name.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep. Just so stupid.
We're not done with you, so that's good. And I'm not done with you either. You stand up here too for a second, okay? Give me a hug. God's not done. Okay, that's a miracle. We're seeing it happen in living color here, okay? You guys can sit down. You got to say a little bit about your story. I just feel like God's saying, I don't know if he was leaning you in that way too, but because you know about what we're talking about here. The miracle, here's the point. The miracle that we remember, we deliberately remember the things that God has done for us, and then we know that God hasn't forgotten us.
Well, my biggest miracle is I come totally non-church background, totally heathen, and God saved me just through nature when I finally left the city. And my friends were, like most down here, were just all partiers, drugs, alcohol. I had no clue about Christianity. So at that time, I was working in a gas plant helped by Mamio Beach, and I prayed to God. I said, Lord, you got to get me out of here. Once I accepted him, and I figured out there was a God, and I watched a Sunday TV show because I figured it's got to be something on there. So I gave my heart to the Lord there, and it was like, well, now what do I do? You know, I didn't even know you could walk in a church. That's how bad I was. I didn't think you could go walk in a church. So I prayed to God. I says, well, I need to get out of here because I can't just change my friends. I don't know anybody to hang out with. And, you know, I ended up applying for a job overseas in Dubai, and I asked the Lord, I says, you got to get me out of here so I can change. And he did. And for 3 years, I still didn't know you'd go into a church. So I just read, every time I come to Canada once a year, I take a suitcase full of books, and I'd read about God, read the Bible. You know, God used that time in my life to purify me from all my past and history. Not that it was all gone. I still had to struggle with a lot later, but it's just miracle after miracle that God does when you walk down those steps. You know, God will deliver you. You know, and he's every stage is through my life, in hard times and good times. You know, God's done things when I've asked or things that I've needed. So I just encourage you to don't give up. If you need change, ask God. It can come in different ways, different forms, but he's faithful.
Amen.
You know, and I'm just so happy and grateful.
Amen. Me too. That's awesome. Yeah, thank you, God. Come on up, Rick. Just before you speak, I just need to say this. That there's some of you here that you're going, well, those are cool miracles, but I need one too. Just like what Daniel did. And I think that, you know, we'd be amiss if we didn't say the miracles are still being offered by God today. There's more of you that are struggling with alcohol or you're struggling with pornography or whatever it is. We can be set free from that. And that's why we gather together. And I just want to let you know, before we're done here, there's more chances for you to be prayed for. God wants to set you free.
Amen. Thank you, Stan. Okay, years ago, when Darcy was talking about working on the gas plant years ago, that's where I found the Lord. I went up there to work in the bush, and same story, drinking and boozing and all that, and trying to make enough money to have fun in life, to buy my booze for the sex life I wanted to live and all that. And then I met a guy up there, Roy Tattersall. He worked on the gas plant. He was a welder, and I actually stayed with his brother, who was one of the top guys for partying in Fox Creek. So I was with him, got a job on the gas plant, and he used to tell me about his weird brother, Roy, that worked on the gas plant. Well, I ended up on this job, and who do I end up working with is Roy Tattersall out of all these people, and I wanted to find out about God because he was telling me his brother was religious and kind of a weird dude, but I was searching for this stuff.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I ended up working with him, went back to Edmonton a year later, And I had to go back up to Fox Creek to get all my stuff. And ended up with his brother drinking all night. I wanted to see him, but booze and everything got in the way. So the next day, I was leaving town. Now, this is the miracle that I was so mad at myself. I was hungover and everything. I just wanted to get out of that town. I didn't want to ever go back there. And I thought, I got to get some food. I was hungover. I said, if I can just get some food. And I went to the Esso gas station. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I thought maybe I'd see somebody. This is early in the morning. I go back to the Grizzly Hotel, and the night crew was gone, or the night crew had come in. They were sleeping. The day crew was gone. The town was deserted. I go to the Grizzly Hotel. There's nobody around. There's one person that's supposed to be working, and he was there, Roy Tattersall. And so when I went in there, and I said, what a surprise. I wanted to talk to you. Well, all being said, I end up now back into Fox Creek, up to his place. He takes me into his house, opens his big Bible, and starts telling me all this stuff. He gives me a little track. I'm leaving, and I knew if I didn't get out of there, I was going to start bawling.
Yeah.
And so I, anyhow, I sat, we talked, his wife and everything, very friendly, wanted me to stay. I said, I got to get going. And I knew I had to leave or I was going to start bawling, eh? So I get out of there. As I'm leaving, I get in my truck. As soon as I got in my truck, my windows roll down. The tears just start rolling down my face. I had to look out the window and wave at them like this because I was too embarrassed. I thought I was crying. I leave town, and I got this little track in my hand that he gave me. And I'm driving down the road right between White Court and Fox Creek. I said, God, if this stuff is true.
Wow.
I said, I want you to end my life.
Thank you, Jesus.
So, anyhow, it's just like, if you ever been sleeping or just nodding off, and somebody give you a little push like that, that's what happened to me. Yeah. It's like I woke up.
Thank you, Jesus. That's good.
I woke up, and I thought, what will I do with my life now? Mm. Because all I ever knew was drinking and booze and trying to find happiness in life. But I thought, what will I do now?
Mm-hmm.
And all I ever done was, and I always wanted to be an artist. And a little voice said in me, said, you will paint.
Yeah.
That was 37 years
Hallelujah.
Ago.
Hallelujah.
And if some of you people know me, you know that painting out on the wall. That big one, Johnny Cash painting, about a man that has to give his life, either make a choice in his life. And that's what happened to me.
That's you.
And that painting was about 37 years ago. God has blessed me. I have a studio in Crossfield. I teach art. I was at 17 years at Stampede.
Wow.
I made lots of money. You know, I'm not there anymore, but I feel that the Lord wants me to do what he wants me to do. Yeah. He blessed me with this whole
That's
career.
Right. That's a miracle.
You know? And so this is the miracle that
Amen.
That God is good. He meets your needs. And you just
yes.
got to really believe what his word is. He teaches you in his word.
Amen.
That's the food for
Amen.
Our soul.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, thank you, Father.
Oh, awesome. That's exactly good. Ooh, amen? Just 1 minute. That's good. God's good. I hope you're feeling it. I hope you know that God's here. Doug, you're going to get a chance, okay? And maybe be the last person, but Ralph, I got to pray for you today. Is that okay? Yeah. Can I get you to stand up? Some of you guys know Ralph. Ralph and I go back a few years. Is it okay if I let people know what's going on in your life? Because I think it's important. According to all the medical experts, all the doctors, Ralph isn't going to live very long. And he's been in hospice for a while, already for a few weeks, right? But Ralph and I have met a few times, and I'm going to pray for him. We're going to pray for a miracle for Ralph. And Ralph believes in Jesus, right, Ralph? You know that Jesus is your Lord. You know that he's your Savior and your King. Why don't a few other guys want to join us, stand around here? I want to pray for this brother, and we're going to keep believing. We're going to keep believing that this is a God who does miracles, that he's a God who breaks through. And right now we got someone in our midst here, Ralph, who needs this. So let's pray for him. Maybe, Ted, you'll pray after me, okay? So, Jesus, we pray in your name
I just read this morning when I was looking through your word how, man, in one chapter you healed two people who were blind. You healed the woman of Jairus, the daughter of Jairus. You healed a deaf person. You just went on and on, just touching and healing people. And so right now we agree in the name of Jesus that you will heal our brother Ralph. I thank you for his faith in you. I thank you that he knows you. And I thank you too, God, that no matter what, we all, every one of us, has an eternal home that's so much better than this place where we live. That you've gone to prepare a place for Ralph, and you've gone to prepare a place for me and for all of us. But right now, we pray for our brother and ask, Lord, that you'll touch him and heal him, because there's nothing you cannot do. And we want him to experience and to know the love of Jesus right now. Let the love of Jesus just rest upon him, God. Take away the fears, take away whatever worries, whatever stress, God. And we just speak against any verdict, any diagnosis that is not from you, and pray for your healing power in Ralph's life. In the name of Jesus, the healer, amen.
Yes, Lord, we pray right now for Ralph. All these men of faith are laying their hands on him, Lord. In the past, Lord, I've had healings that I've prayed for my sister and my dad, and they've been instantly healed. And we know, Lord, that you can do it any time, any place.
Yes,
and we just lift up Ralph right now. Jesus. We pray that your Holy Hallelujah. Spirit will flow through his body.
Yes, God.
Cover him with Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Jesus. And Satan, we rebuke you
yes.
in Jesus' name.
You
take your hands off him and out of his life, Lord.
Yes.
Just thank touch him, Lord, Jesus today Christ. And heal him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, bless you. It's good you're here.
Thank you, God. Wow, God's moving. Doug, why don't you, maybe we're going to give you the last word here today. We can do this again. There's more to be said, but I hope you're understanding what we're doing. These are miracles. These are things we've prayed for, and these are prayers that have been answered, and that God has done. They're kind of like benchmarks along the road, and once in a while you got to look back and you go, because when you get lost again, you go, where is God? Where are you? How come I don't know where you are? Do you still keep your promises? You look back, you go, oh yeah, there's that one, and there's that one, and there's that one, and oh yeah, there's that prayer, and oh, okay, I'm good, Lord. I'll shut up now.
Do I get the 40 minutes that...
Nope.
oh, come on. Actually, growing up in an unchurched house, no God, no Jesus. But the biggest miracle is when they sent us to daily vacation Bible school. Mm. And I can remember there was an older gentleman I think it was about a 52 or 51 Chevy pickup. And he'd come around and pick us up.
Wow.
Every weekend three weekends? And took us to church. And Jesus came into my heart then. I know he did.
Yeah.
But I didn't walk in that until back in late 80s, another miracle. I was watching TV, watching a Christian program on TV, and give my life to the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Miracle two.
Yeah.
And in between then, I was in several, one... I was coming back from Fort McMurray with my girlfriend and my sister, and the intersection from that road coming from Fort McMurray, I can't remember what highway it is that goes out to Boyle, and my sister was driving, and the road was icy, and we come up, of course, just before the stop sign at that time, there was a curve in the highway. Well, my sister lost control on that. And we come out of that with just a bent fender.
Wow.
And a bent A-frame. Miracle number three. Well, that was accident number two. There were several little close accidents like that. One time we're coming back from Edmonton, my girlfriend, her brother and his girlfriend, and I was driving and I fell asleep.
Mm.
When I woke up, we were just that far from hitting a truck, a big truck.
Wow.
About a three-tonner. So, you know, if we look back, we can see where the Lord has saved
Amen.
Our lives.
Amen.
Miracle after miracle.
Yep.
And his guardian angels are there all the time.
Thank you, God.
That's it.
That's good.
Oh, one more thing.
This is miracle number four.
You know, I this last month, over a month, 2 months, I haven't done much work, but I've got a peace.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize that until the other day at the kitchen. I had a peace. Yeah. The Lord always provided.
He does.
So why worry?
Amen.
It only causes heartache.
Yes.
Thank you.
Amen. Thanks. And I think that, you know, a lot of us would just verify that, Doug. We see the peace. I've told you that myself, that it's visible. And I mean, how many of us, you know, now we start thinking about this, some of this regurgitates, and, you know, you think about, someone else tells a story, and you go, oh yeah, that reminds me when I did that, or when I got in that accident. I mean, can you think of an example in your life where you go, I should have been dead by now? Anyone? Yeah, there's a few of us, right? I should have overdosed, I should have been in an accident, I should have been divorced by now, you know, all kinds of things. Those are miracles. Are you getting this? This is how God works. And this is how we encourage each other. And we're looking back on the road and we're going, okay, yeah, there are days when I'm asking the big question. You know, where are you, God? How come I don't see you doing what I want you to do? How come my prayers don't get answered the way I want them to be answered? And David in Psalm 77 gives us the answer to that. He says, just start remembering. In the New Testament, it's full of the same stuff. God just says, keep remembering. That's why we do, you know, the bread and the juice, the Lord's Supper. He says, remember. When you do this, remember, remember, remember. Not just nostalgia, but deliberately remembering. Think about these things. So we've done that. We're doing this right now. And I know that some of you are shy, and so you didn't want to come up. Maybe you did, and you didn't get an opportunity. But I know this is happening in everyone who's sitting here. There's something that's come to mind. You're going, yeah, I remember that. I remember when we went through that. I remember how hard that was. And I've kind of forgotten about it sometimes. But now that I think about it, oh, man, was God ever there? There's no other way. I mean, when I look at my life, and boy, we can go on. I could go on and on about my life, and I'm not going to do that. But I go look at my life. There's things I go, if God wouldn't have delivered me, if God wouldn't have saved me, if God would not have answered that prayer, I would not be here. There is no question about it. I know exactly what you're talking about. Amen? He's a God of miracles. And I was going to preach more. I'm not going to preach a whole lot more because I want to give you an opportunity. You have something. There's some of you here today. Maybe there's something in your life and you want to come up to the front and you want to ask for that prayer. You need a miracle. Why would you leave today? Why would you leave without receiving that miracle? You have heard from 10 people who said, this is what God does. He does a miracle in our lives. And if you're feeling that you need that in your life, I want to give you that opportunity. But just before we do that, I want to just, one more thing about the Psalm 77. And that's that when David was looking back on all the things that God has done, there's one event in the history of the Israelites, there's one thing that sort of stood out more than all the others. One thing to remember, one event, and that was the event of the crossing of the Red Sea. And he says this, "The water saw you, O God," verse 16. "The water saw you and writhed, the very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down with water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked." Here it goes. "Your path led through the sea, your waters through the mighty waters." Right? Your way through the mighty waters. And so he's reminding himself of this amazing event that happened when Moses was standing before the Red Sea. You got to imagine this, right? Standing before the sea, and the promised land is on the other side, and the Egyptian army is chasing after them. And they can see the cloud coming, and here they are standing, all the Israelites going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to get across? They're coming. They're going to kill us. They're going to put us back into slavery. And God, they cry out to God. I don't have time, but you read this, Exodus 13, Exodus 14. We'll get into this more next week, I promise. Bring your friends. But anyway, right? They're standing there on the sea. And he's saying, what are we going to do, God? What are we going to do? And God says, literally, God says, why are you praying? I think it's the only time in Scripture God says, quit praying. Just step out. Just do this. And as soon as they stepped out, why are you crying out to me? God says.
I've already told you what's going to happen. I'm going to do this miracle. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to make sure your enemy doesn't destroy you. So step out. Just do this. Just step out. And as soon as Moses did that, he raised his staff and he stepped out. The sea was spread, right? Left to right. And they went through on dry ground. Don't you want to go through on dry ground? Don't you want to go through on dry ground? And when Moses told the people what happened, and when they watched what happened, they said it to the next generation. And that father told his son, and that son told his son, and it went on and on and on. And you got to just imagine how that happened. A father would sit down with his son, and he would say, "Son, let me tell you about what God's done. I want to help you to remember what I remember. Here's what God has done for his people. There was a day when we were standing as a nation, as a people, on the shore of the Red Sea. And we cried out to God. We didn't know what else to do. We were lost. And God delivered us." And that's why we got the rocks, yeah, to remember, right? And the sea opened up and the way was dry. The way was made so that we could actually walk in the way. God delivered us. Let me tell you about this, my boy. Let me tell you about this, my boy, how God is a God who saves. And when we prayed, he answered us. And this is a story that got told from generation to generation to generation about the faithfulness and the great miracles that God has done. And when David says, "Man, I am having such a bad day today, and I don't know where God is, and I don't know if he still believes in me, I don't know if he hears my prayer," and he goes, "But when I think back to that event, when I think back to the Red Sea, when I think back to God splitting and making the way, then I remember who God really is." Now, I'm going to stop because there's more I want to say, and I'm going to get into it next week. But I want you to know this today before we sing a song. I want you to know that God has the same miracle for you as he does for me. He has saved my life. He has done it visibly and publicly to the chagrin of a lot of people, but who cares? God does what he does, and he has saved me. He has changed me, and he's done that for so many of us who are here today. And he'll do it for you too. So if you are hearing God today, and you're saying, "I need some dry ground to walk on. There's some obstacle in my way. I need this obstacle. I need you to make a way. I need you to make a way, God." I want you to know this absolutely as truth, that God is saying to you, "I'm going to make a way for you. You need a way? I'm going to make a way for you. There's some huge obstacle in your life that you don't know how it's ever going to be removed. I'm going to remove it for you. Because that's how much I love you." Is there anyone here today? You want that? I want you to just stand up a minute. You're hearing this and you say, "I need this." Just stand up. Good. Thank you. Yep. Anyone else? This is it. God's saying, "You got some big obstacle. You want me to make a way where there is no way? I can make a way." Why don't you just stand up and we're going to pray together. And then I'm going to ask the people around you just to put their hands on you. And don't be afraid of that. See, there's lots of us. You don't need to be afraid. There's a few of you that are getting close. You're going, "I'm thinking about it. I'm almost, my knees are starting to." Don't be afraid. It's Jesus who calls you. He says, "I want you all mine. I want you 100% mine." Amen? There's an obstacle. It's the drinking. It's the suicidal thoughts. It's the it's whatever it is. It's the adultery. It's you. You're the problem. Lord, get me out of the way then. Get me out of the way so that I can just be free. I want you to be free. Can we, all the rest of us that want to or who feel led to do this, and this is only if you're really a believer in Christ. Don't go laying your hands on someone unless you are a real believer and you believe in this. I want you to stand around some of the other people and just put your hands on them or just stand beside them. That's good enough too. Just stand beside them. And we're going to pray and then we're going to sing this song and then we'll carry on again next week. Let's just stand around each other. Again, you don't need to touch them. If you're not comfortable with this, you sit in your chair. Just sit there and pray. I'm going to lead you in prayer. And then you pray. God, in the name of Jesus, you have been here today. You're here right now. You're a God who heals the sick. You're a God who raises the dead. You're a God who splits the sea so that there's a way and there's a pathway. And God, a number of us have stood up today saying, God, I need that miracle in my life. And I'm going to claim the miracle that you promise, that you are my God. You're going to help me with this alcohol. You're going to help me with this personal struggle I'm having. You're going to help me with this big wall that's in front of me. Right now, I see a big wall, but you're going to take it apart, God. You can blow it up or you can take it apart piece by piece, brick by brick. God, do it whatever way you want. We think about Ralph again with this, terminal illness. Heal him, God. Be near to him, God. God, you hear the cry of our hearts. You hear the cry of our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Hear us, Lord. You know what we need, Lord. God, some of us, we've been cold to you. We've been going our own way. We haven't really wanted to allow ourselves to be touched. We just haven't felt ready to be touched. We've been keeping our distance. And we repent of that too. Because we know, God, that what you want is a close walk with each of us. And so in the name of Jesus, we take a step right now. We're taking one giant step closer to Jesus Christ. Amen? I want you just to pray now. Everyone pray. And it's okay if there's a lot of praying going on. Pray out loud. Pray out loud. Thank you, Jesus. Pray out loud. Lord, you know what we need. God, you know what our needs are. Right now, God, break the loneliness. Break the shame. Right now, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Return to me. God's saying this to someone right now today. Return to me. Return to me. I am not far. I am near you. And I love you. I love you so much. Return to me, and I will return to you. I've been waiting. I have been waiting for you. Don't you see my arms are wide open? Don't you see? I love you. I love you. Don't you see? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, empowerment. In Jesus' name, return to me. Thank you for the power, Jesus. Thank you, God, for my brother. God, restore and break down what needs to be broken. God, heal what needs to be healed in the name of Jesus. Jesus loves you. Thank you. Let this man be the father that he needs to be. Thank you, God, for the heart. He's got a heart for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. If you're praying, just keep praying. You don't need to stop just because we sing a song. Just keep praying. And if you feel like you're still needing something and you know it's not right to leave yet, you want more prayer, we're not going anywhere. I'll be here all afternoon if we need to. God's not done working. And if you know that there's something else that needs to be worked out, something else that needs to get cut out of your life, then we just pray for you. This is the best song I could think of that talks about... says, you split the sea. You split the sea. Does your sea need to be split? You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing, I am a child of God. I want you to say that with me right now. I am.
I am.
A child of God.
A child of God.
Okay, now like you mean it. I am.
I am.
A child of God.
A child of God.
Okay, not like it's really true, because it really is. I am.
I am.
A child of God.
Child of God.
I am.
I am.
A child of God.
Child of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. And I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. So I could walk right through it.